Thankful this morning for the hope of the gospel. This morning I am inspired and encouraged with the reality that the Lord is not simply a mighty God and judge that we have access to consult with from time to time. But he's also a God of all creation that came to secure our salvation and eternal peace to the extent that we let him. The Lord came to fight battles for us. The Lord came to provide overcoming power and grace in the midst of our weakness, in the midst of dark times, in the midst of the storm. He came to bring us victory, came to bring us peace, came to bring us security. Today I have a special burden about this because I feel strongly that and fear that we unnecessarily allow our peace to be stolen from us when it is not God's will that our peace be stolen. Jesus came to bring peace, and he came to bring victory. And I feel like that, especially perhaps conscientious people, and I feel like we're conscientious people, we want to do right. We want to make it home in peace. We want to please God. And I feel like that the enemy knows that, and conscientious people can be particularly at risk of allowing their peace to be stolen from them when it is not the will of the Lord. And so I'd like to preach, by the help of the Lord, a series of messages that reinforce the truth of God's Word, that He desires that we be a people of victory. The Lord wants us to be defined as a people of victory. And it's attainable to every person. And if you could just get a visual in your mind for a minute, if we are the people of God, the Lord wants us to look and act like the people of God too. To look and act like a people that are following after a God that has conquered all. He doesn't want us to be living life where people approach us and say, "My, you look like defeat incarnate. Who are you following?" "Well, I'm a Christian. I follow Jesus Christ." "Really? I've known you for a long time, and it seems like there's a pattern that your life is almost seems like maybe you look defeated." I want to inspire you this morning. The Lord wants us to be a people of victory. A people of victory. And I believe also that by the Scriptures, the Lord is also teaching us to be a people of good cheer. I'd like to preach where we live today. I'd like to preach in a way that exposes the enemy of our souls by the help of the Lord. I believe the Lord wants us to be encouraged today. As a preface to these messages, I'd like to notice a verse in the 16th chapter of John. It's a verse that we've read here before. I'd like to look at it again. Jesus said, "These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world Ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. Jesus Christ is speaking these words of truth to us today, and his words of truth are that the peace that you will have comes from me. He said, I've spoken these things to you that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation. Well, he's teaching us that he has a peace that does not come from the world. But we live in the world, and we're human. And so what that means is that because we're in the world, we are going to face distressful times. Jesus said himself in this verse, in this world, ye shall have tribulation. And so I want to say at the start that these messages are not to try and create a false reality or present a life that is attainable, that is free from all bad feelings, that is free from all situations that are difficult in life, where we can live a life where we aren't faced by any adversity that affects at all the way that we feel. That would be heaven. We're not there yet. Haven't made it to heaven yet. We're still here on this earth. But I do want to encourage you, not by my words, but by the words of Jesus Christ, where he said, regarding the hard places that we're going to face, the tribulation that we're going to face in life, be of good cheer. Be of good cheer this morning. Don't let the hardships of life crush you. Don't let the reality of who you look at in the mirror. Sometimes the greatest enemy we face is ourselves. Our greatest disappointments, mine, is me, myself, and I. But the Lord does not want us to allow ourselves to crush ourselves, doesn't want us to allow the adversity and the hardship that we face in life to steal our peace. He doesn't want us to let these things define us. He doesn't want us to be defined by dejection. He doesn't want us to be defined by despair or dismay or discouragement or doubt or delusion or depression. I'm going to write those things on the board. I call these the 7 D's, and they're not nice words. He doesn't want us to be defined. What was the first one that we had? Dejection. Dejection. Despair. Dismay. Discouragement. Doubt. Delusion. And depression. Getting low on the board. Dejection. You ever feel low in spirit? Dejected. We can get dejected by any number of things in life, and we can begin to feel low in spirit. We can find ourselves in dark places, like Joseph found himself down in a hole. And we can begin to experience the absence of hope. And then sometimes when we feel dejected, our spirits low. Sometimes these things have a way of building on each other, a progression sometimes. And we begin to feel despair, and then maybe we all of a sudden we see some light and we feel some hope. Maybe there's a way out of this. And then we turn around, and much to our dismay, there's a mountain that's right in front of us that's way bigger than what we can handle. And we turn around and we look behind us, and there's waters that are deeper than we could ever handle ourselves. And we look to our left, and there's a ravine that's steeper than what we can go down. And we look to our right, and there's just a wall. And there we are. We're dismayed. Now we're dejected. We're low in spirit. We're experiencing an absence of hope. We look around because we're told that there is hope, and much to our dismay, it looks like there's no way out. And we give in to discouragement. We're just going to live a life of discouragement. We're just going to plod along in a state of not courage, but discouragement. The enemy loves these words, by the way. And you know what happens when we allow discouragement to hang with us for very long? I'll tell you what could happen. We can start doubting that the promises of the Word of God are even real, and that they even apply to me. Well, maybe they apply to others. Their situation's different, but nobody understands me. And the people that wrote the Bible, well, that was at a different time, and I'm in a peculiar circumstance. And I have situations in my life that, well, people just don't understand, and I don't know that the promises really can apply to me. I'm just not sure that there's a peace for me personally. Maybe others, not saying that it doesn't apply to us, but for me personally. See, that's what the enemy likes to do. He wants to make you think you're different from everyone else. He wants to make you think that you are a unique lost cause that's separate from what other people face. That's not true. We all face many of the same trials. They're a little different. They're dressed a little different sometimes. But we face a lot of the same things. But the enemy would like to make us feel isolated. Isolate you and then cause you to feel dejection, despair, dismay, give in to discouragement. And then pretty soon you doubt that the truths of the gospel may really even apply to you. And then you know what happens when you start doubting the truths of the gospel? Delusion can happen. Delusion means that you believe something that's not true. That's what delusion is. And you can start believing something that's not even true, like the promises of the Word of God really aren't true. Now, sometimes we don't tell ourselves this, especially if we're raised this way. We don't raise our hand and say, I don't think that the promises of the Bible are true. But we live that way. We live and we think as if they don't apply to us. And we start believing something that's not true. And if you base your life on a belief of something that is not true, you can start living your life in a depressed state. There's other D's you could find in the dictionary, I guess, if you want. But I guess for good measure, let's just add one more. Defeat. The Lord does not want us to be a people of defeat. Jesus Christ did not come for us to have a testimony of dejection, despair, dismay, discouragement, doubt, delusion, and depression. He did not come for us to be defined by defeat. The Lord came for us to be a people of victory. Do you recognize any of these gems? You companions with any of these? Made friends with any of these? They go with you through life. Maybe you feed them, water them, clothe them, take care of them. Make sure you don't lose them. This can happen to us sometimes, y'all. They're not godly companions. These are not angels of light. These aren't angels of goodness and truth and victory. These are tools of the enemy. And the Lord would have us separate ourselves from their company. The Lord doesn't want you to keep company with these. That's not what He brought for people that are following Him. And I want to say this. If you're following after yourself and you haven't given yourself to God and you want to live however you want to live, well then, this doesn't apply. The message doesn't apply. Because if you want to live that way, I will promise you that you're going to find yourself in life feeling dejected, despaired, dismayed, discouraged, doubt about all kinds of things, believing things that aren't true, and often finding yourselves in depression. But I'm speaking of people that from their heart want to follow Jesus Christ. That as best as they know how, Lord, I want to serve You. I want You to be pleased with my life. Don't be friends with these. Don't allow these to be your companions. The Lord would have us redirect our attention, lift our eyes up unto the One from whence cometh our help. And this verse that we read earlier says, be of good cheer. Why? Because of what you've done? Because of my righteousness? Because of your righteousness? Because you're going to be able to handle all of the problems of life in exactly the perfect way so that you can get on the other side and feel really good about all that's happened. No. Be of good cheer, not because of what you can do and what you've done. Be of good cheer because of what Jesus Christ has done. What He has done, what He is doing, and what He will be doing for you. John 14 and 27 says, peace I leave with you. This is the Lord talking. Jesus said, peace I, Jesus, am going to leave with you. My peace I give. I give it. You didn't earn it. I'm giving it unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. The peace that the Lord's saying I have to give you, it isn't going to be found by something that you generate in your own strength. That's not what He's talking about. You can't go to Walmart, to the home improvement, or they don't have a life improvement aisle, don't they? They think they're maybe the whole store is life improvement. But you can't go to a store and go down this aisle and find peace that the Lord has. You can't find it in this world. In fact, you can't go live in Beverly Hills at the pinnacle of what so many people look up to as if it's above everything else and they have all things that anybody would ever want. Suicides take place up there. Gross addictions take place up there. Broken relationships take place up there. That's not where you're going to find peace. Jesus said, I came to give you peace. Not as the world gives, give I unto you. Therefore, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Folks, the Lord wants to give you peace. He wants to come and replace these seven D's with His peace. But you have to be willing to take it. You have to be willing to accept it. You have to take your eyes off of yourself. We have to stop trying to live under the law and realize that we are under grace. Does that mean we live however we want? No. But by grace are ye saved, and that not of yourself. It is a gift of God. And He wants to bring us a peace that passeth all understanding. And I fear often we live our Christian lives without the peace that the Lord wants us to have. And as a significant aside here, Jesus said, I have overcome the world. Jesus has the final say, not the world, not the situations of life, but he can come and say to us with authority that in me you can have peace. Yes, in the world you're going to have tribulation, but in me you can have peace. Why? Because he said, I've overcome the world. And so the world doesn't have power and control over you if you become his, because by extension, his power and his peace then covers us. Isn't that encouraging today? The Lord wants us to get a hold of that for ourselves. So as a preface to this little series, no, there's not an experience while on earth that is going to be free of trouble and all disappointment. And notice that disappointment is not listed up here. As Christians, we will face disappointment. Jesus was disappointed when he looked over Jerusalem. And he wept and he said, how often I gathered you together as hens doth their chicks, but you wouldn't. And I wonder this morning, if the Lord doesn't look out over his people, his children, and says, how often I would have gathered you together and saved you from all of these things, but you wouldn't. Therefore, your life is left unto you to have to live with these things. We don't have to do that. We have something better than that. No, we're not going to find a life free of disappointment. But we can have an experience of heart peace that's found in Jesus Christ in the very midst, in the middle of the storm. You're gonna find some storms, but be encouraged that you're not alone. You have not been isolated. It might look dark, but Jesus is there with you in the darkness. It might look like your boat is flooding and about to sink. Jesus is in the boat. In fact, he might be underwater. But he's overcome water, and water doesn't drown the Lord. So he comes up and he says, why were you fearful? And the Lord has that message for us this morning. To be encouraged and challenged and recognizing that yes, you too can be of the number of the people that are victorious. Romans 8:28 says, do you still believe Romans 8:28? We probably, most of us could quote it. Do you believe it? We say we do. And we know that all things work together for good. To them that love God, to them that are the called according to whose purpose? His purpose. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. Do you love God this morning? I love God. I believe you love God. You have been called. You are called. And you love God. And these promises affect you. They apply to you. And the Scripture is encouraging us with the fact that we know that all things work together for good to those people that love the Lord. According to his will. What's his will? That all would be saved and none would be lost. That's his purpose. Yes, sometimes we face things in life that don't taste very good. This says, though, that they work together for good. I don't know, when was the last time you had a spoonful of baking soda? Did you like it? Has anybody ever had a teaspoon of baking soda? Just chow down on baking soda. I don't even want to try. How about flour? Has you ever tried flour? I did one time. I thought, well, wow, I mean, flour just seems like there's piles of it. And it just, flour shows up. You get a bag of flour at the store. You put it in your cart, and before you're done, there's flour in the cart, flour everywhere. If it tastes good, that'd be a good thing. You could have a lot of things that tasted good. So I tasted flour one time. I was like, okay, that's probably the last time I need to just eat flour. How about raw eggs? Anybody here just like getting up in the morning and just having a good 8 ounces of raw eggs? Now, I know some people do it. That's all right. But I don't. It doesn't appeal to me. But when you put all that stuff together and apply some heat to it, I mean, most of us like cookies, don't we? I know there's some sugar along the way, and life has some sweet spots too. But if you were to just take each individual thing and taste it, you say, oh, I don't like that. I don't want that in my cookie. I don't want that in my life. And we start taking all that stuff out, the flour. Is there baking soda in cookies? I think there is. And you take that out, and you take the eggs out because they're raw. And who likes to feel heat? But if you did all of that, then the end result goes away. I don't feel like it's a coincidence that the Lord created it so that you could put all these dissimilar things together that you don't like individually, but when they come together and you apply heat to it, in the end, it's something good and you're glad you did it. And our lives are like that. The next time you face a hard place in life, think about it this way. Perhaps it's just an ingredient that the Lord has sent your way to be mixed with another ingredient like salt. I don't think I mentioned salt. I think there's some salt in cookies too. I don't care for a spoonful of salt. You've heard me say I like salt, but not by the spoonful, by itself. And maybe the Lord sends some salt your way and then some flour, and you're thinking, it just seems like it's one thing after another. Yesterday it was raw eggs, and today it's flour, and the next day it's baking soda, and the next day it's a spoonful of salt. When is this going to end? And then today it's so hot, it just feels like the heat's been put on me. The Lord does that. The verse says, all things work together for good. Let's be encouraged. Let's give the Lord opportunity in our lives to accomplish His will, to accomplish the good, the expected end that He has for us. Do you feel blessed in life today? Are you enjoying your Christian experience? Be encouraged not to give in to these things. I have a confession to make. I haven't arrived. I haven't arrived yet. But I'm making progress. I'm making progress. And I'm learning. And sometimes I find myself talking with somebody, and I say, you know, you look familiar to me. You look like somebody I met before. And all of a sudden I realize I've given space to old Mr. Discouragement came along. And it's like, I know who you are. Let me show you the door. And don't let it hit you on your way out. Did you know that that's how the Lord wants us to deal with these things when we recognize that we're allowing these things to have place in our lives? I don't think we get there overnight. But the Lord would like to lead us in a path where we trust Him with our lives. We trust Him with the ingredients that He sends our way. Will we always understand the why of the journey? No. But remember that the journey is not the same as the destination. The journey is not the same as the destination. And sometimes the journey has to include rough places that you might get to the destination, that expected end of peace that the Lord has for us. So He invites us this morning. In the 11th chapter of Hebrews says, faith is the substance of all things hoped for, the evidence of things that you don't see. And in the 6th verse, it says, but without faith, without some belief, without some trust in the one that created all, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is a rewarder of them that diligently, consistently have faith and continue to follow regardless of the ingredients that come your way. That in the end, there is an end of peace. But we have to have faith for that. Our part is to trust when we don't understand. Our part is to follow when we can't see everything. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Follow the shepherd. Be patient with yourself. Be patient with other people. Lift your eyes up to Jesus, our shepherd, who has promised to lead us into pastures of good. And he promised us in the 23rd Psalm, surely, most assuredly, certainly, without a doubt, goodness and mercy shall follow you. How can that follow you? It's because Jesus Christ is in the midst of wherever you are in life. Surely, goodness and mercy will follow you all the days of your life. And thou shalt dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The expected end. The end of peace. The final product. The end. The destination. The Lord wants us to be people of victory today, understanding that he is a God that is leading us to victory. He will keep us in the time of trouble and darkness and trial. Brothers and sisters, this morning, let us take heart that in the darkest moments of our lives, when we begin to feel tempted by these things, to look up, recognizing and understanding that Jesus is in the midst of your darkness. He's there. He cares. He will hold your hand. He's doing what he needs to do to get you to an end of peace. Let's be encouraged with these words of truth this morning. May the Lord bless these thoughts to your hearts. Let's put the enemy on the run. Appreciate your attention. Amen.